Susan Jacoby's new book, The Age of American Unreason, is her attack on an America that is losing its intellectual standards. In its tone, it could be considered one of a series of books written over the last few years by academics who mourn the country's basic lack of knowledge slipping every year. It's the type of book that both liberals and conservatives have written in the past. In fact, as Jacoby writes, seemingly it's one place where all those on different ideological stripes can come together. But Jacoby tells WMNF that that's simply not the case.
Well, it hasn't happened because this kind of extreme polarization is part of the stupidity of our culture. In fact, I write also about the period because I lived through it as a student. I was one of those young people Alan Bloom was so contemptuous of. And one of the things that happened on college campuses in the 1970s after the uprising of the 60s was this. And it has a good deal to say about our intellectual life today. What they did was, after black studies and women's studies and later on gay studies and all kinds of multicultural studies, instead of integrating, as it should have been, these things into the general curriculum so that African-American studies are an essential part of American studies, which means to say that every white student and every black college student ought to be studying them, they made a multicultural ghetto. And while there are some exceptions in which colleges did make it a part of the core curriculum, in most cases what happened is the multicultural studies ghetto became the domain of the left, and the other subjects, philosophy and English and history, as taught by people like Alan Bloom, remained the domain of the right. This made both sides happy, created a lot of new jobs for the left, and it left the old dead white European males free to go on teaching history and philosophy as if dead white males were the only thing worth talking about. Now, what should have happened, and what's only happened at a few colleges, is an integration of this material with specialized courses for people with a particular interest in multicultural studies. It is still possible. I graduated from Michigan State in 1965, neither the best nor the worst of American universities, without having read a word by such distinguished African Americans as W.E.B. Du Bois or Langston Hughes. You can still graduate from most universities today as a business major or an English major without having read those things. That is absolutely shocking. And both the left and the right intellectuals have a lot to answer for.
Let's talk about some other things you mentioned in your book, and you're mentioning, of course, the college experience. Get your thoughts on, you write about the boy brain, girl brain experiments, and we'll talk about Lawrence Sumner, the former economist under Bill Clinton who left Harvard University's presidency under clouded circumstances in 2005 when he set off an explosion when he said that the low representation of women at the highest level of science was due to innate gender differences in scientific and math aptitude, more than overt discrimination. We know what happened. He left the university not that long after that. What are your thoughts about that, Susan Jacoby?
And became a hero to the cultural right also, which very seldom has a chance to lionize somebody who used to work in the Clinton administration.
Indeed.
My thoughts about that are this is a real example of what I call junk thought, particularly as there is now federal money being put into schools which educate boys and girls in separate classrooms. I wouldn't for a minute, by the way, deny that science may someday discover all sorts of little differences in the way women's and men's brains work. But the fact is that those differences pale beside what we have in common as a species. And what Lawrence Sumner's never mentioned was we can't even know what role heredity or aptitude plays in anything as long as we don't have an equal playing field, and we don't. The cultural influences that operate heavily against women in science and mathematics really come into play at puberty. We find girls doing as well as boys in math when they're young and then slumping off in the teenage years. I wonder why. But this boy brain, girl brain thing is particularly junky because we've heard it all before. We heard it about slaves in the 19th century. Slaves were too stupid to learn to read, but just in case, the southern states passed laws against teaching slaves to read. We heard in the 19th century, in the late 19th century, that women were biologically unsuited to higher education. Their uteruses would fall out or something if they went to school beyond high school. Then we heard it again when huge floods of Italian and Jewish and Slavic immigrants came over before 1924. They were so stupid that they would only become hewers of wood and drawers of water, just like people like Albert Einstein. So we've heard this all before, and it's really descended from the anti-scientific assumptions of the past. It's a kind of fad that does come along cyclically, except that now we have the media to amplify every one of these fads. It really makes no more sense to say that boys and girls learn differently than to say that girls should learn in pink classrooms and boys should have blue classrooms. It's a cultural construct.